percolate on a particular mix of odd and inspiring news headlines in Wendy's Coffee House. Newsmakers with a penchant for the unknown, unexplained, and unusual share their experiences with UFOs, ghost encounters, near-death experiences, and more for your own unique blend of Wendy's Coffee House Curious. And now, here's Wendy.
Well, yes, I'm even more curious now. If that could be, I am more curious now. Hi there. I hope whatever you're doing is great. You're having a good life, a good time, a good optimistic outlook, no matter what happens, because, you know, it's always something. Went on vacation, so maybe that might be my attitude here, because something happened, all right? In the meantime, though, I keep up with the news and all the stuff, and the one thing I had to punt because I'd already planned my vacation to go to Sedona was the conference, the Society for Scientific Exploration and the International Remote Viewing Association. That was a great combo. If I could have gone, would love to have been there, event in Las Vegas. And John Alexander and Victoria had said, you know, you got to go. I said, I've already planned Sedona. I can't. I'm sorry, but I will make it hopefully next time. Somebody who did go. Remember when I interviewed, this is the guy who is the out-of-body experiencer, all right? And he has a blog, Bob Peterson. He went. He took notes. And he has recommendations. So you can read his blog, the OBE Outlook on Life, and find out what happened at the event. That was like, okay, good. Thank you, Bob. He took notes. Edward Gorey, Fantod Tarot Card. I read recently that the tarot is back in vogue. Apparently, people are needing right now a tarot fix. So it's the hot game of the moment. But what may not be quite as hot, but it's really cool, is the Waltzing Mouse tarot card I found. The Edward Gorey. Are you familiar with him? He has all this kind of spooky mystery theater, he has this wonderful, I think, sense of the absurd that he does with his illustrations. Anyway, it's the Waltzing Mouse tarot card. I don't know which one that's supposed to represent, but it looks really cool. I guess I'll find out. And the deal with Sedona was that this trip was planned. I needed to go there. I had a time in mind and wasn't going to do anything super special. I just needed to be there. And at the time I had planned, I thought, well, I'll just make a connect with somebody who does the UFO tours, because they have the little night light thing they put on your head for the night vision goggles and stuff like that. And I thought, well, even if I did that, I wouldn't be able to take pictures. And I wanted to take pictures just in case. And I could get a red dot or something really interesting. Like, maybe. And I called, and now we're booked. No, the week that you are there, we are totally, not every single night. However, we have one opening, and that was the night I was leaving. So that was the sign. So we go out hiking during the day, and I'm taking pictures, lots of pictures of clouds, because I use that to kind of give me an idea for artwork. And I'm looking at these animal figures and stuff in the clouds. And in the parking lot of the Boynton Canyon where we were hiking, I decided the mountain looked really cool. The red rocks were fantastic. The clouds were beautiful. So I took a picture. I come home. I put it on the screen. It's on Facebook now. I'm like, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. There are five little dots up in the clouds. I didn't see them when I took the picture, and I would have, because I was making everything into a special shape, a special sign, something, and they were not there. But in the picture, they are there. And there's five dots, and they look like little windows, a portal in a UFO. And you can't tell me it's not a UFO. Okay, fine. Well, you can. I won't believe it. There's just no way. I was like, yay! It happens anytime. It's happened at my house. I'm kind of over it. It can happen anywhere. But the fun thing was, I wasn't planning on it, and I'd kind of crossed it off the list of, no, not this time. And there it is. So that brings me to Terry Albright, because Terry Albright has all sorts of unusual, unexplained UFO, paranormal, alien implant, secret clearance stories. And Terry is like the jack of all trades with this information. So Terry, I had a UFO encounter in Sedona. Yay!
That's absolutely fantastic. You know, I have gotten to the point where every single picture I take, I look at it very carefully, and I've found some interesting things.
Do they photobomb you?
Oh, well, you know, when we were working with Dorothy Izett, went up to Vancouver and got to go into the home and got to, because Dorothy literally will experience these things all the time. She has a communication with them. And NASA has even said, well, they're teaching Dorothy a new language. They're teaching her things that we don't yet know. They're showing her a history. I mean, they've shown her things on her ceiling in her bedroom in the evening, different people and how they fit into history. But Dorothy has photographed, and Alan Hynek went up there with us. And Alan Hynek, before he died, he passed away. It's too bad. We're losing all of our greats. John Green, Alan Hynek, they're leaving us.
I know.
Even Stan Friedman is trying to retire.
He's trying to retire. After the UFO event, I think, in Roswell, which is that the 2nd of July or something? I think he was saying that was his last public appearance.
Yeah, because, you know, he and I, he's the one who put me together with Peter Gotilla.
Oh.
Back in 1970. And so Alan Hynek and all those guys that we worked with all these years, they're all passing away or retiring. So, you know, there are a few of us that have been around for a long time. And the new people come in and they start talking about things that they act as though it's the first time it's ever been done or ever been seen. Yeah. And I go, oh, okay, well, if that's what you want to think, that's fine. But we've been doing this for so long. But Dorothy Izett could literally, she was in contact with these things. Like you mentioned remote viewing. Well, remote viewing is very similar to what she does.
Mm-hmm.
And these things will say, well, do you want to see something, and she'll say, "Yeah, I want to see something tonight." And she will literally call these things to her, and they'll sit there in the sky, so she can photograph them.
Yeah, yeah. And see, that's fantastic.
So if you look at the Dorothy Izett photographs that we have 35,000 feet of 8mm film that she took.
Wow.
While she was doing it. And she's kind of backed off doing it now. She's older. But, well.
Where is all of that, Terry? Where is it?
Dorothy has some, and Peter has a lot of it. And we have a whole bunch of new stuff that we haven't ever put into a book or onto any footage or anything. Frank Longo did the DVD.
Uh-huh.
And so we do have some of the stuff on there, but nothing compared to what we actually have. It's all, we've got it all.
Oh, Terry, you've got to do something with that, because that stuff,
I know,
it's just, people have to see that to understand that this stuff is possible, for one thing, and that, you know, they might actually be able to do it, or they may already be doing something on the same level. They have no awareness, or they're too frightened to share it.
Yeah, you have to look up at the sky more. You know, people don't look up. That's one problem.
Yeah.
We don't look up. We don't pay attention. I don't know if you know who Bill Burns is, but Bill Burns is the one that did UFO Hunters, and he and his wife have a radio show. So we've done his show, and Bill wants to do something with Dorothy Izett. I mean, he's freaking out that we aren't doing something, and we were going to do something together. I'm not sure where that stands right now. Bill is doing a couple of books, and he's kind of trying to retire too, like everybody else.
Darn it. Okay.
Yeah, I know.
Well, my go-to is Robert Bigelow.
Yeah.
Robert Bigelow has the bucks to do all this stuff. So between maybe either he or it could be that it would be better to go through, because I was doing these interviews before I got into John Alexander and Victoria Alexander. They travel all over, and John's into all the paranormal stuff. And I mean, he's a fascinating person with all sorts of stories. He might be a good contact to connect with Dorothy.
You know, anytime I'm open to listening. The thing is, Bob Kiviat, who did Aliens on the Moon, really wants to do something with me.
Okay.
And we've been talking, as has Bill Burns. I mean, Bill Burns and I left it, we're going to do something. We're going to take this footage, and we're going to produce a new Dorothy Izett piece, unlike what's been done before.
Okay, August 31st or August 30th. I got maybe September 1st. I'm giving you a deadline. Let's put a date on it.
Okay, yeah.
Let's put a date on it.
Well, you know, I still own part of a couple of production companies in California.
Uh-huh.
You know, we still do. I own part of Ping Pong, and we still do all of the Josh Gates stuff and Destination Truth and all that. you know, and I just haven't been as active in that as I should. But if we wanted to get something going,
yes,
because we did Finding Bigfoot and all that. So I mean, we could probably do something there. But there's so much. Well, new things have happened in my life. I just discovered that my wife has an ailment, so I'm kind of distracted at the moment.
Yeah.
You know me. You know how I am.
Okay.
I'll get back on track.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a break. Going to take a quick break, but we're going to come back
and
a little bit more about Dorothy Izett. But the other stuff that you've going on with frequency, because I saw this little YouTube right now. The popular thing is time travel and people who are from the future. I think Art Bell started this thing back in the 70s.
Yeah.
There's YouTube. There's somebody who says he's from 1982 and another guy who said he's from 2018. And, well, okay, anyway, it's YouTube fantasy, but it's fun. And so it has to do with time travel. I thought, oh, perfect, Terry. So hang on. We're going to talk with Terry.
Okay.
Terry Albright, my guest here. Anything's possible. Stick around. Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. My guest, Terry Albright. We always talk about fun stuff. And at one point, we were talking about time crystals and time travel and stuff in a previous interview. And I happened to see this stuff on, again, YouTube, seeing how popular all the time travel things are. And guys saying, I'm from the year 6047. But Terry, you were talking about time crystals and how that works and that somehow you're the machine you were working with frequency. So bring us up to speed on that.
Well, what's happening is that UC Berkeley and Princeton have both done research, and it was theoretical at one point in time. But we all know how if you grow salt crystals in glass, the various things that happen, you can see little crystals forming and shooting off in all directions. That is asymmetrical. Well, our universe is symmetrical. In other words, it's homogeneous. We all exist in a homogeneous zone, if you want to call it that. But what happens is that, say, for instance, you and I, Wendy,
mm-hmm.
were twirling a rope for someone to skip, okay?
Yeah.
Well, in a symmetrical universe, we would turn the rope one time and the person would jump one time.
Okay.
That makes it simple to understand. Now, say, for instance, you and I were to turn the rope four times and the person would jump once.
Okay. It's out of sync.
That's asymmetrical. That's asymmetrical.
Uh-huh.
Now, asymmetrically formed ion or asymmetrically reacting ions or atoms can be altered by using, they can use lasers, they can use other things, electromagnets, that kind of thing, and they will line up these crystals or ions, whatever you want to call them, and just to make it easy, let's say you could take a diamond and all of them are asymmetrical. They're existing asymmetrically. Well, if you line them all up symmetrically, okay,
uh-huh.
homogeneously, it's a different thing. So you need to understand they're finding out now that they can set this system up asymmetrically and keep it going with zero power. Now, what that means, and they this is them saying it, it's not me, it's the physicists saying that in that case, that means that new phase of matter can exist in the four dimensions at once.
Okay.
First, second, third, and the fourth dimension, which is time. And ordinarily, we don't think we are able to interact with time.
Right.
Now, the reason I am so interested is because I have been able to alter an area using a frequency generator and a large speaker. It's not a small speaker. I can put out, it would run you off.
Okay.
yeah. Sure. It's a great mosquito repellent. I'll tell you what. I have gotten pictures, which I sent you a few of.
Okay.
That are I'm getting pictures of things that are casting shadows in another realm. Okay.
Wow.
I've got there's one picture I sent you there, and this thing was. Now we took a lot of control shots. Okay. We don't just go out and turn the generator on and start taking pictures. we go out and do a whole bunch of control shots. We do control shots with the generator, without the generator. We move to different frequencies to find out where we might be getting something.
Okay.
And sometimes we don't even see these things until we get home and then look at them on the computer, and there they are. But we were out in an area where there had been a lot of UFO activity. There had been a lot of Bigfoot activity for years and years, since the 1970s, mm-hmm. up around Palmdale, California. And we turned the generator on after having done control shots, and all of a sudden we began getting pictures of things that were not visible to the naked eye. Even with the generator on, we couldn't see them. But when we looked at the pictures that we were taking, we were getting, one I sent you looks like the planet Mars, hovering about 6 inches above the ground, about a 24-inch globe that is casting a shadow due to the fact that we were using a flashbulb.
Wow.
Or a flash attachment. So when you see something like that, that has to be something solid if it's casting a shadow, wouldn't you agree?
I would think.
Yeah, well, I would think. And so that's the kind of thing that Dorothy Izat was getting. She was seeing things that were visible only on one frame of her 8mm movie camera.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And that's about 1/8 of an inch. I mean, you know, those things are, the frames are so tiny.
Yeah.
There was no bleed over into either frame, but it would come out of phase, and it would blast that one frame.
Right.
And then nothing beyond.
Which
is
amazing.
You'll see that if you look up Dorothy Izat. And the other thing is that she was getting pictures of what Alan Hynek says, not me, Alan Hynek says have to be interdimensional.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Because she was getting pictures of beaches and things on the beaches. She has a picture of a woman she calls the woman in white that she took into the sky in British Columbia. That will actually Vancouver. And so it begins to make you realize that there are things going on that we're not aware of.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know?
I'm on your Twitter site where you've got the frequency changes you posted on your Kansas
right.
UFO.
Right.
Okay. Are those?
I've got a lot of stuff. I've got about four Twitter sites, but I've got Kansas UFO, KUFO. I've got different ones like that. We've also got on Facebook. We've got our research group.
Yes.
So we have a lot of different things on there. But what we have found, now I don't know how this works, but Dorothy told us at the time, well, if I get where I can't do this anymore, you guys are going to have to pick up the torch. And so we have been seeing and capturing on film a lot of the very same things that Dorothy Izat was capturing.
Okay.
So and you... boy, that's exciting because she captured so much. There's one of my sites, I think it's on KUFOs.
Okay.
I've got a picture of three aliens in the window of a UFO that Dorothy captured. That's our footage. That's our picture.
Okay.
And I can send you that if you don't find it there.
But I'm looking at KUFOs now. Yeah, and it's I'm just looking to see if I can find it there.
Yeah, it's... But that is a picture that she took into the night sky of a UFO that was hovering. And in the picture, you see three aliens standing there.
Okay, we're going to have to do some more chatting here.
you know, there's a lot to talk about.
And, I do.
You
know, okay, hold on.
There's so much going on. I mean, I could get grief.
You were supposed to be doing this new UFO movie or film. What happened with that? We're going to talk about that when we come back from the break, okay? Because you've got
so many
projects that you have in the works, so we'd like to narrow the focus and get one with a due date on it, all right? Okay?
There you go. Well, Russell McCord and I are looking at doing something as well.
Okay, so we're going to come back. We're going to come back and talk about that. And I want to know about that Bigfoot photo that you share in that Bigfoot article about the Sasquatch experience you had way back when. All right, so Terry Albright's my guest.
Okay.
Stick around. We're going to kind of catch up a little bit more, as much as we can, on Wendy's Coffee House. So much going on. And, gee, it's just the tip of the iceberg. KCMO, Talk Radio. Back in a few. KCMO, Wendy's Coffee House. My guest, Terry Albright. It's really hard to stay focused with Terry because he's got so many interests, so many irons in 80 billion multidimensional fires.
Well, you know, when you're a musician.
Oh, yeah, that.
Well, you know, I went to California with Young Americans. That's how I got to California.
Oh, you have pictures to prove?
Photographic
evidence?
I'm afraid so, with the long hair over my eyes like a beetle cut, you know, of course.
Yes!
But, I mean, I went to Young America. I auditioned in Lincoln, Nebraska, and they took me on the bus. But anyway, to long story short, I got out there, and being a musician, I had my own band for years, did USO tours, and, I mean, all kinds of stuff.
Uh-huh.
But I had to have a real job, you know, because you couldn't always work in music. That's where I got into Computer Sciences Corporation, where I began working for the Navy, where the secret clearance
that's where the
came
secret
in
clearance,
and all
yeah.
that. So okay. That's where that all happened.
Yeah, you could never have a dull moment in your life.
No, yeah, well, I think I'm starting to have a dull moment now and then.
Oh, no, okay. Now, they're creeping in, huh?
Maybe. But I'm counting on you to bring me out of that dull yeah. moment time.
Well, that's the plan. That's the plan. We've got to get this thing going with Dorothy Izett because her stuff is really fascinating, and the fact that she's still alive to talk about it would be a plus. Okay.
Well, you know, there is so much there, and we even want to redo the book
mm-hmm.
that the publisher did, and Bruce didn't do it justice. Okay.
Okay.
He did a paperback black and white, and paperback black and white does not come close to doing justice to Dorothy's footage.
The photos.
I mean, no way. So we've been looking at doing a paperback or a coffee table book type of thing with that.
Okay, I would just say at the outset, just do a basic Wix web page or a blog spot or some. Just do a one just to get the interest there to give people an idea of what you guys are talking about. Because once you get that interest, then people come to the table and say, hey, let's do this. You get more ideas and possibly more funding. But at least, you know, a wider range of interest, because this it's one of those things that's going to get lost in the, you know, the pages of history, and that it really deserves more exposure.
Well, people have moved on, and there are other people who have had various experiences similar.
Mm-hmm.
But there's just nothing that I can think of, and even NASA came to the table and said, this is the most amazing thing we've ever seen. And they came to the table and said, look, this is real. This is not made up. This is not something that she's, you know, she's trying to invent. This is real.
Did you talk with any, like Hal Puthoff or any of those guys with the remote viewing folks?
You know how it goes. I mean, you're involved in the industry, if you want to call it that, in the field for so long. And what's happened, Wendy, to be quite honest with you, is that many of the people that I grew up working with, like Alan Hynek, Ray Stanford out of Austin, Texas, Stan Friedman,
right,
John Green, the Bigfoot author, who wrote about me in his books even. I mean, come on. And we had all the stuff going with the LA Times and all the television, all this happening. And then Peter and I walked away from each other for a while. I was having a problem
mm-hmm.
with some of the personality conflicts. Okay,
yeah.
So I literally walked away for a little while. But then Peter and I took the material that I gave Peter, and Peter went ahead and wrote the book. Because he sat down and did that, mm-hmm. and I was, at the time, we were at arm's length, and so we weren't working together. Then he wanted to get back together with me to help promote the book and work on other things, and so we got back together, and at that point, we began pursuing further issues. Well, what happened with the whole situation is that the book was not done in the proper way. It was done as a paperback, black and white photos was not the way to do it.
Yeah.
And then Frank Longo did the DVD, and Peter was more involved in making the deal than I was. And Peter hasn't seen any money from any of the books or a DVD or anything.
Okay.
So Peter kind of got hurt by the whole thing, lost his home and all that. Anyway, I don't want to go into that too far. But where we need to go now with this is to re-excite the public about what's going on. And I thought Bill Burns was going to pick it up. So far, it hasn't happened because Bill is involved in his books and various things. But yes, you're absolutely right. Wendy, you're welcome. I mean, I'm inviting you. If anything you want to do, it'd be wonderful.
I'm super curious. Anybody? So I'm going to have to talk to with another friend and see if maybe we can get something going on this. Because this is these kinds of stories, there are more than people realize. But because of things like this, they get lost. They get overshadowed.
Well, that's right.
And it's, you know, you hate losing these people when they're still alive to tell you what it was like and to show you the results of what they've got and possibly pass a thing or two along. Like Ingo Swann. Man, stuff that he has left and his legacy. Philip K. Dick. These guys have tremendous archives of stuff stored that never even got out in public. And so, you know, I just know that there's information here that could be helpful. In the meantime.
Well, and Wendy, what happens in this, in the UFO world is that, sadly enough, everyone is at each other's throat. Everyone wants all of the material for themselves. Well, that's not the way it should work. I've never been that way. I've always given anything that I have and shared that. That's what I always do. Well, I want to continue doing that, and if the Dorothy Izett thing, that's part of what I've done, that should be out there too.
Yeah.
But the nice thing about it, Wendy, is that yes, indeed, I know that we have been passed the torch because I constantly photograph things that are hovering above me.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's a deal.
I see them all the time.
They allow that. This isn't just this is like two-way street. It's if you pass inspection, if you pass muster, whatever it is, then you kind of get a window. And that,
well,
I don't know that everybody realizes that, but there are other things going on.
See, there are things that I deal with and that we haven't talked on this level, but one of the problems that this Earth is having right now is that we are at such a low vibration. I mean, all of the negativity, everyone is at each other's throat, the fake news that's out there, all of this stuff is bringing our planet down. We need to have a wave of higher frequency. We need to bring everyone to a higher frequency so we can communicate, so we can learn, so we can grow. That's what we're here for, Wendy, and I know you know that.
It's so funny because I just interviewed another woman today about she has a new app, and the app is basically a one-stop shopping for certain types of audio programs that help raise your frequency. And so that's right on target with what we were talking about. And yeah, there are people who are aware of that and saying, hey, this is what I can do. This is what I can bring to the table. And since we're chatting, I'll go ahead and give you the audio, the site for that app.
Okay.
It's called PureLightAudio.com. And she's the same, you know, on the same page saying she used it to heal is what happened. She had, they couldn't diagnose the illness that she had. And so she went for a few years and then happened to catch a TV interview or something that said that they offered a program for healing frequencies. And so she tuned it in and she started using some different programs and decided it worked for her. It got rid of the illness that she had. It never explained what it was, but that was fine. It was gone. In the meantime, she thought, well, you know, these things are hard to find. They're all kind of spread out there. So here's the app, one-stop shopping, and they'll add on to
That's
it.
That's great.
So, hey, hold on, hold on. Terry, hold on. We've got to take another
yes.
break, you know, commercials. Okay. And then we'll be back.
I have something to share.
Okay, good. All right. So we'll leave it at that. Terry has something to share. We will be right back. We're waiting. We're planning on hearing this big thing that Terry has to share.
I know you're on the edge of your seat.
Almost. Wendy's Coffee House. KCMO Talk Radio, it's Wendy's Coffee House. When we left, Terry said he had something really cool to share. Well, something like that.
Well, you know me. You know me. I've always got things to share.
Okay, what was it?
As you said, we can go in a million different directions, but there are a couple things that you and I talked about. One of them is the frequencies for healing.
Yes.
And we just discovered, and I don't mean to make this a downer, but we just discovered that Elaine has some malformed cells. Could be colorectomy. We don't know what it is for sure, but we know it's something that came back positive on her colonoscopy. So what we are doing is we're exploring the alternatives. And I've known since the 1970s about B17 or Laetril,
yeah,
which will kill the cancer cells and not touch the normal cells. So that's one thing. But the other thing is that there are frequencies that you and I mentioned a minute ago, frequencies that are specific to specific ailments, to specific body parts. There are frequencies that are earth tones that will bring us back in tune with the earth on which we live. Now, you mentioned a while ago remote viewing.
Yeah.
And remote viewing is something that our group, the Violet Fire Research Group, it's on Facebook. We have a lot of interesting stuff about Dorothy Izad and various things on there. But what you will find is that the kind of work that we do is a psychic development. We had a thing called ESPers, ESPers, that we taught back in the day. And we would teach people how to do remote viewing and how to get into that other realm psychically.
Yeah.
So we look for people. The one that we've been looking for recently, and everyone is welcome to join in and help us, we're looking for Aubrey Sacco from Greeley, Colorado, who is lost in the mountains of Nepal.
Oh.
And so we have been doing remote viewing to locate her. Her father, I got on the phone with her dad, and her dad said, "Terry, do you know my family? I mean, how do you know all of this?" That's just, I just want, in passing, just to mention that.
Yeah.
But the frequencies that we're talking about, if we can bring our planet to a higher frequency all together, I do it every night at 9 o'clock. Anyone who wants to join me, 9 o'clock Kansas time, I go outside and I stand with my arms spread to the skies and I bring in positive. I send out positive. And you can actually see, I've got a picture I can send you, Wendy, that shows me doing that. And you can see the beautiful orbs coming out of me.
The energy. Yeah.
It's wonderful. And everybody talks about, oh, well, what are orbs? You know, they're just specks of dust and this and that.
Energy.
Come on.
It's energy. Hey, hang on. Hey, Terry. I found something I think you might find interesting. This is about the cancer thing. This was a talk that was given at this recent convention we were talking about. I think that I had read about it before, but I didn't know there was going to be a presenter there. This is the guy who's the president of the Society for Scientific Exploration. And he talks about, Bill Bengston, a lab experiment on healing mice of cancer. When you inject a mouse with a certain type of cancer, they get cancer and die around 122 days, give or take 2 days. And that's predictable, documented. He said when his team invented a technique of remote healing, and when applied, the mice are cured, even in the late stages. And they said they've documented it, they've done scientifically, they know this, they can do it. And they also say the cure is permanent. And if the healed mouse is injected with the same cancer again years later, they fight it off successfully, 100% success rate, and it can be transferred to other mice. They also store healing intention and transfer it to a mouse remotely with objects like a piece of cotton. That was one of the presentations at that. You may want to look that up because...
I will definitely. Well, you know, you're talking about intention, and intention is... Well, okay, here's a very, very down-to-earth way that I use intention, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, I have a gold frequency, molecular frequency device that I use to find gold. I've found gold everywhere. I can find gold the size of a flake of dandruff with this thing. And
wow.
People will go, oh, yeah, sure, you can't do that.
I know a guy who can do that with crystals.
Huh?
I know a guy who can do that with crystals.
Well, I mean, it's something that is scientifically proven, and I've got the gold to prove it.
Yes.
But here's the interesting thing about that. I use a pendulum. I can use a pendulum. Now, I don't use a pendulum the way some do.
Mm-hmm.
You can use muscle testing, kinesiology. We all know that works.
Like dowsing, yes.
Well, kinesiology is a way of testing your muscles to find out what your body is in agreement with.
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So, Dr. Morter, M-O-R-T-E-R, I believe his name is. Dr. Morter has taken that to another level. His family, they're all chiropractors. His family has developed a way of testing the body and actually discovering exactly what is wrong with your body and then correcting it chiropractically.
Okay.
Now, you can look up Dr. Morter, and his method of healing is very, very interesting. I can give you more on that. But the point I'm getting to, I use the pendulum simply as a way to say, okay, you're done now with that project. I have not cleaned the water in my turtle tank, which is about 4 feet by 2 feet.
Okay.
I've got three turtles who are 5 inches in diameter.
Red sliders?
In that tank.
Are they red sliders? Huh? Are they red sliders?
I've got one red slider and two other ones that they sent us because the red sliders were dying in shipment, and I don't know what these others are,
uh-huh.
But they're beautiful.
Okay.
They're bigger than the red slider.
Oh.
Anyway.
Wow.
We used to have to clean that every couple of 3-4 days, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And I have not physically cleaned the water in that tank because it stays crystal clear for about 3 months.
Wow. That's impressive.
Because I intentionally clear the water. Now, I don't even know what my mind is telling the water. I don't have to say this molecule has to do this to that molecule or anything like that. I simply intend. My intention is what does the cleaning.
Terry, you've opened a whole another can of worms, and now we have a minute 30 left. You always wait till the very end.
Well, that's just. See, I have a plan.
Obviously. Okay, we're going to have to reconnect about Dorothy Izett. We're going to have to see if we can pin you down on a date to get this information. I will volunteer to set up a web page with her information. Send it to me so we can at least get a web page so people know what we're talking about and why this is really
okay.
So cool. Okay. All right.
Now here, one more thing before we get off the air.
30 seconds.
Okay. Let's do something with sending out this positive energy every evening at 9 o'clock, okay?
That's an easy deal.
You can do it from your easy chair.
Anywhere, yeah. Yeah. That's easy, okay? So 9 o'clock at night, or whenever you're going to go. But make it easy on yourself.
You can do it while you're watching America's Got Talent. I mean, you know, it can be done from your easy chair.
Okay.
So let's send out this positive energy and let's heal this planet.
Let's bump things up a notch. Get a good vibe going.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. And then you'll be able to photograph more ET pictures.
Well, and then one last thing is that I really want to put all of our cassette tapes. We have about 300 cassette tapes.
We got to go.
That I really want to get.
Okay. We're going to reconnect. Terry Albright, my guest. I'll post this stuff on Wendy's Coffee House blog. All right. So, hey, you, thanks for listening. I appreciate you tuning in. Terry, we'll talk again. See ya. Stay curious.